blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangham Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By the compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by the compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by a compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by a compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyampi tatyampi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. We are here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Just a reminder that Sunday morning groups are recorded and made available for monthly donors. What shall we look at? Ashwin.
So I was looking at the thwarted ego.
The thwarted ego.
Yes. And the spiritual lessons to learn from that. And it's sort of a summary, but let me talk about the content that is the analogy. So we have this wonderful idea to get tanks, right? To capture water, and that with such joy and urgency and getting it all ordered and set up, and for the last 48 hours, it's watching the rain come down without being able to do anything to get those things that are going to save us onto the property for circumstances that are completely out of my control. And how often the inevitability of structure, of things that are happening in life that remind me that I just don't have control. And watching the sensations of anger that arise every time it feels that there's an inevitability of a circumstance that cannot be altered by me.
Oh, wow, that's big. So to watch the anger that arises every time the inevitability of circumstances are here that cannot be altered by me.
Right. Yeah. Especially when it's for the good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially when it's for the good.
Yeah. And I was watching the process. accessing on that. And what I got to was two really, really interesting things. One in meditation is that it's really the attachment to the idea that's causing suffering.
Mm-hmm. In this case, the idea that
the tags have to be here before it rains.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or I'm going to go for a walk this morning, and then suddenly something happens, and I can't. Is that there was the assumption is revealed.
Uh-huh.
And the attachment to the assumption is revealed.
Yes.
And so underneath that, it's, well, there's some person here for whom it deserves to happen.
Right. What is the it deserves to happen?
I deserve for it to go my way.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
Right? That's the real attachment, that I can get the tanks here and the water will be there and we'll be fine.
Because we're doing it for the good. It's all good.
Yeah, even if it isn't, but it's for my good.
Uh-huh.
Right? So if I want to go for a walk in the morning and something and the phone rings and I'm required to go to the grocery store instead,
uh-huh,
I feel thwarted because what I want didn't happen.
Yeah.
But even in examining what I want, it's the attachment to what I want that's causing the suffering.
Right, yeah. Because if there weren't that attachment to the idea of getting the tanks here or going for the walk, it would just be, oh, I'm going to the store. Or, oh, wow, it's raining. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there wouldn't be that. If what was revealed in the sit and is that it's the attachment that causes that suffering.
Yeah, this is such a grasping to something so unreal.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That just because it was ordered, it would happen.
Yeah.
Or because I thought I was going for a walk, I wouldn't have to give it up.
Yeah.
But the exquisite thing that dropped in the sit, it's like, why does this happen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why? Why am I always throwing myself against these structures that are immovable?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And something that it's sort of the thy will be done, mm-hmm, that we were looking at, which is the training that life offers to give up what I really want, so that when it calls me to act, there will not ever be a no.
Ah.
And the best training ground is those places where I want it the most.
Uh-huh.
Because then the divine has the ability to, the divine has no trust that I will say yes when the call arrives, if it hasn't trained me to give it up, yes, when I want it the most.
Yes, yes. So if there's in that way, the training is such a gift in itself.
Yes.
So the question was from
that place. Yes. From the thwarted place.
Yes.
Why
do I keep doing this?
Yeah.
And what dropped in as a maybe an answer or a response to that is because you're being trained to say yes no matter what.
Yeah.
And if you can say yes, if you can be trained to say to let go of what you want the most, then the divine can trust, there can be a trust that, oh, she's all about yes.
Yes, that when it really matters.
Yeah.
When it's not about me.
Yeah.
I won't say no.
Yeah.
But how else is that capacity deepened?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody can say no about things they don't really want.
That's right.
But boy, or say, yeah, let go of those things that they don't really want. But boy, when it's something I really want, we've got to really, there's a Rumi poem about something about when you're being tested, when you're being judged. That's the evidence.
It's trial by fire.
Trial by fire, yeah.
Yeah. And so at some level, that movement to, wow, I suppose it's not a movement to purpose, but a recontextualization of, I'm not being thwarted, I'm being trained.
Yeah.
It's just, there's such a lot of willingness that gets released in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That the loss is actually an opportunity for freedom.
Yes. So that
it's only the loss of attachment.
It's only the loss of attachment, not a
loss of content.
Yeah, not even a loss of the good.
Yeah.
In fact, the good is being served even more magnificently
yes.
by that attachment being revealed, recognized, and let go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And in the process of that recontextualization, awareness is expanded.
Yes.
And that transformation is happening.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, and it's so beautifully ironic or humorous or whatever. It's always post hoc. You don't see it while you're in it.
Yes.
For good reason.
Uh-huh. Because
because if you did, then you wouldn't go through the transformation.
Exactly. If we knew it while it was happening, or really saw it while it was happening, it wouldn't be the quote test in a sense.
Yes,
the
you
training.
Wouldn't have it.
You wouldn't have it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. That is ironic, isn't it? Penny.
Well, that was fascinating. I shared the attachment and. So what I was looking at about that is that what was arising is that it's also an opportunity to say, what are the other possibilities?
Mm.
And speaking of the same content, so speaking of the garden,
mm-hmm.
So we don't have the tanks. We have a lot of trash cans and a little chubby thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. But what are the other options? You know, in other words, it feels like what arose from me as that was being talked about was, yes, we are thwarted in this regard, but what are the other things we can do? What can the garden teach us about how else to serve it?
Mm. Mm.
Because we don't want those little plants to die if we go through a month of no rain.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll bet there are ways that we can learn from them how they can be best served.
Mm.
And that's the other opportunity. Mm-hmm. It just certainly that arises from that. I mean, in a way, we've had to do that for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had to rearrange how we relate to that place. And it has taught us different ways of working with life to support life.
Yeah.
And that's actually part of the fascination.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, wow. So if I'm tracking, what you're seeing is that same kind of feeling thwarted could be here. And it could, you know, be just being thwarted or being angry, upset. But what you're going to is an expanded place of, well, what else is possible? And going and drawing on your experience of the last 2 years in the garden, of it will teach us what else is possible, what it needs, how best to serve it. We had this idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's not happening for whatever reason. But these little plants are going to need water for the next month. How can you, and attuning to that and being open to what that will drop in, because in a non-separate reality, that's life.
Mm-hmm.
You're tuning into life.
Mm-hmm.
What's best is going to be here.
Yeah, and what I was just seeing as I was listening to the previous discussion was that, so yes, there's thwarted ego. The opportunity is to allow that to be transformative into a yes. And then part of the yes can be, what else is possible?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if part of the problem of attachment is to think that, well, if we don't have X number of capacity tanks, then somehow we're stuck or there's nothing we can do.
Yeah.
And life is so much more creative than that.
Yeah.
So it feels like the opportunity is, well, then get on board. What else is possible? Look around at what's possible. And we, in fact, over the last couple of years, I've learned a whole lot about what's possible in terms of maintaining water and keeping water. And so actually, you know, really the relationship with the tanks is the same as the relationship with drought.
Yeah.
Which is, it can be actually exciting.
Yeah. And we could even, with everything, adversity,
right?
It can be exciting. It's an opportunity.
Right.
And that's the way, that's the relationship that's been cultivated over these last couple of years with the drought. And it's just now being applied to this, because being stuck, like, oh, we don't have the tanks, we can't do anything about this water, is just another way of saying no. It's just another no.
And it's a way of saying an ego. It's in a way of saying, the limits of this situation are the limits of my imagination.
Yeah.
And my imagination is this big.
Yeah. And so getting rid of that, or getting out of that my, that is that, quote, imagination,
right.
And getting on board
yeah.
with the what else is possible
yeah.
is that movement from no to yes, from the dark room to the light room.
Yeah, and that, I mean, I think it feels like that's been sort of an awareness, but the, I appreciate that, that arose out of response to, yes, there is a frustration here, and just seeing how a frustration is a potential huge opening.
Yeah, yeah, a potentially huge opening.
And someday we'll get the text.
Uh-huh. We think. We must.
And we'll learn all kinds of things in the interim that we wouldn't have learned otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Another big possibility.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, did you have any?
Yeah. Gosh, both of those. So helpful. So I was looking at something that feels really similar in terms of ego being thwarted. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I have really seen a number of times, and I'm seeing it again lately, is that seeing something, or, you know, like, oh, we don't have the tanks, you know, that it feels wrong or not like that. Or the one that I was looking at recently is being exposed to something that feels so unjust. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of so clearly, quote, wrong. Mm-hmm. And that what I watch come up is just this energy of retaliation. Mm-hmm. And how I was really relating to the piece of feeling like being trained. Because as I watch that retaliation, I remember it so clearly on September 11th when that happened. I think it was 2001. Mm-hmm. And I was here and just got simple information about what had happened. And I remember so clearly that night in my hermitage having such a sense of that retaliation energy. Mm-hmm. And that realizing that the original thing underneath there is just a great sense of care, mm-hmm, and love. Mm-hmm. And so I've been practicing with staying with that, mm-hmm, with that great sense of care and love, mm-hmm, and watching how challenging that actually is, mm-hmm, to not have it go up to that level of, like, to watch something that feels so horrendous, mm-hmm, to me, mm-hmm, and to practice staying with the love. Mm-hmm. And not going to the retaliation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wow. So there's a real deep recognition of that movement and how difficult it is. First of all, I don't know if this was difficult, but to even recognize, oh, what's under all that, yeah, is a deep caring and a deep love. Mm-hmm. A love for humans, love for plants, love for whatever, right, you know, whatever, exactly, the garden, everything.
Exactly.
A deep love. With maybe with no object at all. And then how hard it is to stay with that when, mm-hmm, the whole system, mm-hmm, is about moving to the retaliation. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess I just, it's, I was reminded recently of Gandhi saying something along the lines of when he was talking about, this is my paraphrasing of it, but as far as he could tell, the thing that we all need to be, quote, fighting against is inside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when he was asked, and so how has that gone for you, kind of that internal battle, he said, well, not very well, which I think is why there's so much, I forget the word he used, but compassion is the word I would, mm-hmm, use for, you know, all the scoundrelness I, mm-hmm, see in the world, mm-hmm, which I so relate to. Because as I watch how challenging it is, even just watching something that I'm not being directly affected by, right? It's not even me or anyone I know personally or anything like that. And how challenging it is to stay in love in that situation,
yeah,
brings up huge compassion for where someone would go to live on the level of retaliation.
Exactly. Yeah. Because it is even in that, it's when it's not even happening to me, mm-hmm, kind of in all in quotes, and we still see the reaction happen, right, still see the impulse to retaliation, yeah, it, you know, it's sort of like, well, now, if I could see how challenging it is, and it's not even me that's getting whatever, right, oh, how much more.
Yeah, I what if it were my child or yeah. my whatever or my, right?
Yeah.
And then it seems like the way I was relating to it with those first two conversations is what seems so clear to me is that that battle, so to speak, is fought on a moment-by-moment basis. You know, sometimes it's escalated to things that seem really real and really big and really true. You know, it's life and death, it's injustice, it's whatever. But realizing that actually it's happening on the level of, oh, it's raining and we don't have the tanks yet. Mm-hmm. Or even like, you know, why are you standing in my way? I'm trying yeah. to get to the sink, uh-huh. you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on that level. Yeah. That's where life is asking me to work with it.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of that peace quote that Krishnamurti, start with the little things, mm-hmm. the little simple things. Yeah. Because because that's the training, isn't mm-hmm. it, that we were talking about. Mm-hmm. So we could train with, get out of my way, I need to sing, you know, without kind of, you know, with and just train with it.
Yeah.
Just train with it.
And watch how challenging that is.
Yes. Yes. Then in a way, that is the whole point. There's yeah. nothing to be done.
Right.
It's just to be here for it, to yeah. practice with it. And then, you know, as the compassion grows to those really, really wrong things, mm-hmm. you know, then the compassion has grown.
And exactly that, it's so interesting that was said, because it's exactly what was coming through in the last little while, is that, wow, that sense of being trained, mm-hmm. that everything, all of these little things are training me, mm-hmm. you know? And for what? I don't know. You know, for this, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
You know, not really
yeah.
for anything.
Yeah.
But again, that sense that that when life calls, we've been so compassionately trained.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that you're that you're the way you're even phrasing that feels central to the point. Mm-hmm. The point is that not that I'm training.
Yeah.
That we're being trained.
Because yeah, exactly.
there is no I that can right. do, receive, or whatever that training.
Yeah.
It's the yeah. being trained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. I think that's such a good point. Mm-hmm. I know for myself that's often a regular cul-de-sac. Mm-hmm. The conditioning is like, oh, I'm training for, and I'm getting, you know, I'm setting up for a life of what?
Exactly. yeah, I know. I know that goal is that too. Yeah, and to step back and recontextualize that yeah. oh, okay, I'm just being trained.
Right. And even that's training, right?
Yeah, exactly.
To wear that cul-de-sac out.
Yep.
That we've been there so many times with conscious compassion and awareness that pretty soon we go there and go, oh, I know this one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Don't and need
then,
to go there.
And then that training may or may not be in that moment complete. And then yeah. we're on to the next yeah. the next thing to go to training.
Hi. Yeah, I was looking at training as well. Interesting how that comes up. And what I was looking at, it was reference to, I think it was assignment 6 or 7 in the email class.
Mm-hmm.
Not exactly sure. And it was the training around the structure of recording and listening. Mm-hmm. I was just watching how that whole process has evolved in practice from when we started with reassurances, mm-hmm. and I still have some old reassurance tapes, it just felt like a deeper recommitment to daily recordings. Mm-hmm. I was watching the last couple of days. I'm doing the 30-day retreat, and there's an encouragement for daily in review, and I normally do that anyway. And there was a line in there about adventures and awareness, and that sort of, I was just watching that excitement at the end of the day to review the adventures and awareness, and that training to keep that commitment
uh-huh.
when I could get thwarted, and, yeah. and watching this wording, like it's always don't want to, don't feel like it. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Anytime I call games, I don't want to, don't feel like it.
Yeah, you didn't kind of know that one's going to be there.
Yeah, it's so humdrum, it's so repetitive. Uh-huh. And then, for the longest time, it seemed like there was an agenda brought uh-huh. to the recording and listening at the end of the day. And recently, I think it's the email class about having that structure and allowing authenticity to have a voice mm-hmm. has brought beginner's mind mm-hmm. to the recording at the end of the day. no idea what I'm going to say, which is really neat. Mm-hmm. I just turn it on, and life starts talking. Mm-hmm. And there's no sequence to it. There's no continuity in quotations. Mm-hmm. It jumps around. It might talk about daily events. It might talk about a peace quote that dropped in, or all of a sudden a big awareness that spawns another insight. And it really is that training in communication that I saw. And I bring that to then off the recorder into other communications. Uh-huh. In that, and what I've noticed too, life likes to pause.
Uh-huh.
And wait. I love that. In my recorder, I'll hear these long moments of silence. When I'm listening, I'm like, that's just interesting. Uh-huh. There's a big pause, and then something will drop in. I'm projecting. Life drops something in. The being said something. Then I listen to that and go, that's life.
Yeah.
That's life operating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really is all training, isn't
yes.
it? Because what you're pointing at is the process is the training. So there's the email class. There's a practitioner who's reading it and applying it to the 30-day retreat and, you know, really, you know, earnestly doing it and recognizes or benefits from, now there's beginner's mind here because there's a new assignment, a new element of the training that
yes.
is being brought into, it sounds like a daily, you know, practice.
Yeah.
And in doing that, there's a recognition that I don't know what's going to be said.
Yeah.
It could be a peace quote, I bet, but the training is to just follow the structure
right.
of the assignment, of the practice of recording listening, and see what happens. And then that is being then applied to other things. You're seeing, oh, life likes to pause. Oh, I don't know. Oh, there doesn't need to ever be an agenda. It could be writing a note, it could be recording and listening, it could be everything, but it gets applied in all areas of your life.
Yes, yes. When you're saying that, I just saw that the process of training around the encouragement of recording and listening, which is just the guy it's any opportunity that the guy has an opportunity to talk about recording and listening or encourage recording and listening or in a response to a respondent about recording and listening, it's such a powerful tool, and that it just deepens and deepens the more I do it, that I see what the guide is pointing at, giving a voice to life, giving voice to authenticity, and just that training of redirecting attention from that incessant yammering of ego that has got most of us all the time.
Yeah, and so seeing the training and allowing oneself to receive the training, to be trained that way,
yes.
and then going deeper and deeper and deeper.
That's what it feels like.
Going
deeper, deeper, deeper. And then listening, there's kind of a new practice now, just to follow up the next day is sometimes daily email reviews will go a couple, 3-4 days without hearing them, and just the last week, there's been a commitment. We listen to the daily email review the next day, all the previous nights, as kind of a new commitment. And it's fascinating to hear things that I didn't hear myself say, which is just what a lot of the communication email class is pointing at.
Yeah.
We often don't hear what we say,
yeah.
even in the moment of saying it, where there's an assumption of presence.
Uh-huh.
So I get to dispel that, I feel really present.
Yeah.
I go and record a whole series of things, and then I listen to it and go, I have no idea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Yeah, who said that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's inspiring. Whoa.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so that's really been interesting to watch.
Yeah. To check back in on it more quickly, not
yeah.
let a few days go by, but
yeah.
then to listen and to get kind of get current with what is here.
That's exactly what it is. Get current to what insights or awarenesses or just things going on with whatever is going on. Yeah, that's a great point. Staying current.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I think it was like, okay, it's done. I'll just put on the shelf for later.
Mm-hmm.
But that quotation is later. When is later?
Yeah.
There's not such a place.
Yeah, and it dropped in to do that.
It dropped in,
and
like,
then
yeah.
you responded.
I just responded to that command. Oh, just do it the next day.
Yeah.
See what was said the night before. Yeah. And all training. Again, that commitment of training
is
right there again.
Yeah.
To stay current, to train, to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Listening is skills is so important too.
Mm-hmm.
That I found in this email class that we often are bombarded by the voices that we don't hear while that's being said.
Well, and what's just occurring to me about what you're saying, Todd, is that we allow ourselves to be trained, we say yes, and we get the goodies. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. There's a real direct benefit from that, and that getting to experience the depth, getting to be current and see things that you hadn't seen before, getting the benefit of that beginner's mind, and all of those things that the heart wants flow from the yes of allowing ourselves to be trained in that way.
Yeah, the willingness to be trained and saying yes. Thank you.
Wow.
I had a couple thoughts. The first thought I had, it related to the earlier conversations about the water, is, you know, I'm from the East Coast, and I'm like, well, of course it's going to rain in the next month. You know, it didn't even cross my mind that that was not a possibility. Mm. I was like, of course it's going to rain. You know, it's too bad, whatever. So I thought that was interesting how experience drives perception.
Yeah, really.
But there's something I've been tossing around. And I don't know if I can spit it out. I don't know if it'll be coherent.
Sorry.
Because it isn't like fully formed yet. But it basically revolves around this idea that make no assumptions. Now, my conditioned mind wants to learn all the rules, figure everything out, and perform, and never get another, you know, note on the board. Like, you know, I don't want it. Not going to happen. That's what conditioned mind says. Uh-huh. And it's fascinating to me, while there's a lot of structure here, there's still a lot of ambiguity. Like, all the time. Like, every day, almost, at least for me. And, you know, and even getting back to what someone said earlier, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's not clear to me how much of this is conditioned mind and how much this is really just who I am. Like, I see endless possibilities almost in every moment. Like, there's just so many ways to think, you know, there's just, I don't know, it's just like, they're endless. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And so wrapping all that together, what does that really mean? Oh, and the other thought I had is that at one moment, something wasn't going the way conditioned mind wanted it to go. And I had this thought, was like, the thought was, well, I'll just give them what they want. You know, and then the thought, that was followed by another thought. Like, I literally in the past have had, like, I had jobs where I figured out what my boss wanted. I gave my boss exactly what he wanted. He was super pleased, and I could not have been more miserable. To think that I'm performing in a way that isn't natural for me, that gives him exactly what he wants, but I have to be... I felt like, and of course it was, you know, primarily conditioning, but there was this element of like, I wasn't being authentic.
Yeah.
I wasn't being sincere.
Yeah.
I wasn't really being honest. It was all a huge lie. And the fact that it was successful was very distressing to me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, so I had that thought. I was like, oh, I'll just be whatever, you know, whatever I need to be. And I was like, really? You came all the way out here to do that?
But you saw it. You know, you might not have seen it so clearly. Here you see it, right? It's right in there.
Well,
your
yeah. Place. I mean, there's lots of opportunities to see mm-hmm. here. That's one of the great things. Mm-hmm. So wrapping that whole thing up, what's dropping in maybe in the past 24 hours is that. This is my experience here, you know, as a visiting monk. I don't want to sound like a cliche, like there's lots of guidelines, but there are no rules. But like, there's no structure.
Yeah.
There's nothing to follow. There's nothing that I can follow to be my true self and still necessarily, you know, just run through here easily.
Oh.
It's going to be, you know.
I project so identifying with, and delightful, really in delight about, because what you're pointing to is the magnificence of this place, really, and it's so true. There are tons of guidelines that, in using the language that we have been talking about, say thwart ego or is, as you're pointing out, reveal ego. And what you said earlier was really fascinating and very, I think, central, but then you kind of, is that in every moment there are endless possibilities. And yet, there are lots of guidelines. And so what you're pointing to is the process, the karmic process that you've identified and you've seen and recognized, not only in that work situation, and also it came up here, is I'll just give them what they want. And I'll just figure everything out. Give me all the rules. I don't want to get another note. I want, but how inauthentic that feels. How deeply dissatisfying it is. Even if you were to succeed and be able to do it, there's something that just feels icky and creepy about that. And so,
it's a projection of hate.
A projection of hate. Yeah. Well, and we can say that self-hate. There, it is. And then you internalize that. And so that's not how you choose to live. And you're getting to explore the other way here.
Right. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I brought up assumptions is because in every moment, if there are multiple possibilities, mm-hmm. which that's how I experience life. I've always experienced, well, for as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. And that means that there's going to be lots of things where, you know, I mean, at the most basic level, when I sit in a chair, I assume the chair is going to support me, or else I wouldn't sit down on it. When I put on waterproof clothing, I assume it's going to keep me dry, or else I wouldn't even bother. So, you know, at a very basic level, we make lots of assumptions all the time, mm-hmm. just to function. Mm-hmm. You know, but more so, despite all the guidelines and all the paperwork and all of the details here, there's still, like, conditioned mind says, oh, now I see the cracks in the facade. There's all these gray areas. How do I respond? Mm-hmm. Do I put 25 notes on the board every day? That doesn't seem like that's the right way to go. It seems to me that the only way to go is I do the best I can to examine my assumptions to see, am I just in conditioned mind here? Mm-hmm. And to work with it and to expect that I'm going to get notes on the board. And expect that my opinions about, or you know, my thought about how to do it is going to change, could change over time. Mm-hmm. You know, like actually, I left the hat on from the kitchen, you know, and I brought it back. And when I came back here, I was like, I could have ran in to go to the kitchen. And I was like, I don't need to do that. It's fine. I'm just right here. Mm-hmm. And then in the daily recollection, it was like, do not. I can't remember, of course, now. You know, don't take that which is not given. And I was like, in here, let's go put it back. You know, should I run out of here and go put it back? And I'm like, no, I'll stay here. You know, I mean, I could put it back later. But I mean, to me, that's like, there's all these possibilities all the time that you can do.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it none of, like, I could, if I'm just being a certain way that isn't my true authentic self, then I've gained nothing by coming here.
Yeah.
I could get all the praise in the world, and it means nothing.
Yeah. Well, and again, to tie it in with the earlier conversation, because I think that's what you're either closing in on or have closed in on, which is, it's the training. What you have put yourself in for this month as a visiting monk is the context of being trained, of all those voices, all those, well, do I, well, the precept is it, you know, all of that, and then the communication from the note, well, maybe I do want to write 25 notes and put them on there and communicate everything and get it back. Or maybe I want to not and see what happens then. And all of that is part and parcel of being trained. And that's the gift that you've given yourself by being here. Because it's it's impossible to figure everything out here. It just like in life. It's impossible, and it isn't a process that we do. That's the process of suffering, is that figuring it out as you've articulated. And so here is an opportunity to practice another way, and in that other way, it is the training.
Right, and I guess my thought about that is like the other way, there is a personal component in this, like, just the, you know, I may not do, like, nobody here does everything exactly the way ever other people do it. Uh-huh. It's just, and there are no, you know, like, I can't elucidate what I'm trying to say, but, you know, it's like literally moment by moment.
Yes.
And there's a temporal component that, in the sense that this moment I make this decision, and that moment I make that decision, and that sometimes I may feel strongly against whatever is going on, you know, whatever seems to be the message to me, and other times I might think it's perfect,
uh-huh.
and that I have to just, and that is life. And that is essentially what life is.
Yeah.
And that it is very important that I take on this responsibility. I have to take on the responsibility for what is authentic and what really works, yes. because the external doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Yes.
I can create the external, you know, but it doesn't matter. I'm still not being authentic.
Exactly. So if I'm with you, what it sounds like you're saying is an essential point of practice and life. At all of these things, in every moment it's different, all these things, that's just life. But what we are asked to take on is the responsibility of going to authenticity in each and every moment, not being swayed or driven or by those externals, but to practice going to authenticity in every moment.
Right.
Yeah.
And like the movie, like Gandhi, you know, like he wore like no clothes.
Yeah.
Right? And nobody else ever did that.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes over a period of, 20 years, I think? I think if I did the math right, it's like 20, 25 years. He's walking around in a loincloth. Nobody else is joining him that way.
Yeah.
But that was authentic for him.
Uh-huh.
You know, that is what he needed to do.
Yep.
But not necessarily other people, you know.
Yeah. He didn't do it so that everyone else would jump on the loincloth bag.
Right. He wasn't telling everyone else to do it.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
It was what he was doing and that was authentic to him in that moment.
And that's why he was appropriately dressed when he showed up at the palace.
Yeah.
Because it was him.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how it works.
And that's how it works.
So anyway, that's, like I said, I wish I could say it nice and cleanly, but
I think you communicated quite well, and really got, and that, again, is what we're doing. We're putting it out there and processing and being facilitated so that we can see, so that there can be a mirror that we get to see it more and more and more clearly. Well, thank you. So clear.
Just a whole lot and I don't know what will come out here, but I guess that which you are seeking is causing you to seek keeps coming this morning. Because it's one of the great mysteries to me of how the heck, you know, what put this person, or what put me in this, place of being... willing to be trained.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
It's just one of those things that just, like, wow.
Yeah.
What is it that keeps making that decision?
Yeah.
Because it certainly doesn't feel, you know.
Certainly feel like me.
Me, you know. And it's just, I don't know. It's just humbling.
Mm.
And then, so much of what was talked about, the love, just looking a lot at the process of love. I think it's coming out of the morning radio show, you know, looking through the eyes of love.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people referring to Gandhi and just being struck. It's just so obvious in looking, at his life that, God, it's true. There's nothing else to do but love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what else could there possibly, we proved it over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
that love is the only thing that works.
Mm-hmm.
And being so moved by that, and then seeing myself stand up and being overtaken almost immediately by ego, you know, like, why are they doing it like that? You know, just that whole...
Mm-hmm.
You know, just falling into that so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching that, I see what's going on. And then also watching that resistance to like stopping, mm-hmm. you know, just like, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's just so amazing that it would be, you know, just that, still that strong pull mm-hmm. to be in that place of separation when it's so clear to the heart.
Yeah. And when you see that, wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Where does that... That when you see the strong pull mm-hmm. to leave mm-hmm. love and go back mm-hmm. go to all that mm-hmm. nitpicky stuff, where does that be?
With wow, this is a formidable, uh-huh. You know, uh-huh. this is really a formidable opponent. Uh-huh. It makes it so much. People have said it earlier. You just see how it is that people make a choice. Not love choice.
Yeah, yeah.
You can just see that, you know.
Kind of a place of understanding yeah. or sympathy
yeah.
or
yeah.
maybe yeah. even love for yeah. the people. Yeah.
Right. Right. And, well, for me, it just seems like it's just starting at some real fundamental, I talk about basic. I just, sometimes I find it challenging to leap to the to humans, so, you know, to just be, especially, well, anyway, I got up this morning, and it was like, you know, this is the mystery to me, the mystery that suddenly there, you know, to notice, oh, I'm flinging things, or, you know, each thing I touch this morning is worthy of love yeah. and respect, uh-huh. and to just come back to that. And that seems to be something that just, I don't know, it's just there. It's just, it seems really tiny, but it's there,
yeah.
it's present. It's, it just is good practice for that unconditional.
Yeah, let me see if I'm with yeah. you. So this morning, it yeah. sounds like you kind of, we're in that place of recognition mm-hmm. that you were just talking about, of flinging mm-hmm. or just not mm-hmm. care, mm-hmm. and a realization in that mm-hmm. moment that everything you touch mm-hmm. is worthy of great
yeah.
care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And it's the process, you know, just aware of the process. That's it right there. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to bring to interactions with people mm-hmm. and to, you know, mm-hmm. interactions with my Coke that I just took off.
Yes, yeah. And you see the process. Mm-hmm. You know, you see it, and then mm-hmm. you, and then it sounds like you, when you recognize it, then you can be more mm-hmm. caring with the Coke mm-hmm. or the whatever mm-hmm. it is that you're touching, and mm-hmm. you go to that place.
Mm-hmm. It's so curious to me that it just becomes so challenging with people.
Uh huh.
You know, it's like. I don't know what it, yeah, and I don't need to know, but, you know.
Well, but it's the process.
It's the process, yeah. yeah.
And that
yeah.
which you are seeking is yeah. causing you to see. You know, the thing that is dropping in that I think is points at this, or is another example of this, was last night in the movie when Gandhi was like, I can do that, and he kind of smacked his little niece on the head, and then yeah. he kind of patted her.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
And it's like that same thing, you fling the coat, and then it's like, oh, no, and then
yeah.
you, and yeah. it just seems to be yeah. the way we are. The,
yeah.
the what it just seems to be what happens.
Yeah.
We get identified and we come back.
Yeah.
Maybe we are careless and then we're careful. We love we
yeah.
you know, and that process is yeah. the training, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 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 It's the training.
Mm-hmm.
And for you know, for what? You know, mm-hmm. you know, it's just that at that moment it feels really good.
Yeah.
To be in that process. It just feels right.
Yeah.
And I also was struck, and I heard this before from other folks that I admire, that someone mentioned that Gandhi maybe didn't see what he had contributed.
Yeah, that he died, like he felt like he would
fail. Right, right.
Uh-huh.
And that that we can't know.
Yeah.
We just cannot know what those little acts, you know, it's just like, well, you know, it's just, we just keep training to be in alignment with authenticity, and who knows?
And who
we
knows?
Don't do it for any, you know, for any end.
Yeah, and letting go of any attachment,
yeah.
as we started out with, right?
Like, yeah.
Just letting go of any attachment
yeah.
to any outcome.
Yeah,
wow. Yeah.
It's,
it's big.
Yeah, yeah. And also, it's big, and it's also just, it is really a big relief.
A relief?
A relief.
Yeah,
really. You know? Oh, gosh, all I have to do is take care of this, you know,
and it is
with
enough.
All of my, you know, with everything that I have. Mm-hmm. And then we'll see.
Well, that is such a big point, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That it's a big point that it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
That all I have to do is take care of this.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is be present with this. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a relief.
What a relief. You know, all the mind wants to go off at bigger things. You know, it's like, no, just
yeah.
right here. This is it.
Mm-hmm.
And,
this discussion is just bringing together something I was seeing in the discussion about the notes and something that I was really struck by watching Gandhi yesterday. And it's the opportunity in monastic training to disidentify from what it is that doesn't want the note.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't want anything that challenges its little world
mm-hmm.
of being, wanting to be whatever, good, right, perfect, like that.
Mm-hmm.
And identifying with life that wants that information and wants to see whatever it is that's operating that's not authentic to be in more alignment and like that. And and I was so struck watching Gandhi yesterday how, well, there was something he said, you know, which is something like, we don't fight to punish, we fight to change things. And we're all such sinners that we leave the judging up to God.
Uh-huh.
And that in the ego version of fighting to change, you have to somehow be different from what it is that you want to change. You have to be better than
mm-hmm.
or have like a... It's like that, if you're not perfect, then who are you to?
Mm-hmm.
If you have this going on, then who are you to
yeah.
want to change something?
Yeah.
And I was just so struck by his, like, that, I don't know, that complete, like, grounded humility, humor, coming from that non-separateness,
uh-huh.
that we're all scoundrels, and that doesn't mean he's not fighting to
yes.
change things.
Yeah.
And so not having to be separate from what it is that you want to change in order to want to change it.
Yeah.
So seeing that identity of, you know, that horrendous, you know, wanting to be perfect, and then if you want to change, you get called insincere, because how could you want to change something when you have, you know, all
yes,
of that.
Yeah.
Just, I just experienced that going to a different place, watching Gandhi in action
yeah.
yesterday.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, because that wanting to change things, when you're on the right side of the judgment,
mm-hmm.
you know, when
mm-hmm.
I'm the right person, and I want to change things, that place, it's such a setup, isn't it? Because then that creates the huge opening for the, well, who are you? Because we all know.
Yeah.
You know, we may be conned into believing we're on the right side of the judgment, but that identity then is just a setup for, well, who are you to change things when you're just the scoundrel like everyone else.
Right. So you could be stopped from expressing something authentic by believing a voice that says that you have to be a different way before you get to express that authenticity.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You have to improve something.
Yeah.
or that coming from that ego separation place and just, yeah, perpetuating the separation.
Exactly, exactly. So, perpetuating the separation, which again never really changes anything because right. It's coming from the system that created the problem in the first place. And what Gandhi was modeling, and what you're picking up on, even from the "I don't want to note," is another manifestation of that. Mm-hmm. It's no, we are all in this together. Mm-hmm. And if something is coming through me, something authentic, or just something that's coming through mm-hmm. me from that non-separation place that needs to be changed, then I want to say it and I want to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's somehow like tuning into an experience of that unconditional goodness that isn't the dualistic good, bad,
yeah,
right, wrong, but that, yeah, I can't say it better than the, you know, we're all such sinners, we leave the judgment up to God, and we fight not to punish, we fight to change things. And yeah, it's almost like feeling motivated not to waste time on the conversation in the head that says things like, you know, that has opinions about right. me or anybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because that's all part of the whole judgment process, mm-hmm. which you're saying, your point seems to be is superfluous to anything. You know, we're leaving that up to God. Yeah. So why do I want to have a conversation about what's good or what's right, or it should be this way, it should be that way? Because that's sort of in the court of judgment, and that's not my business. Yeah. That's up to God. All I'm here to do is to be as present as I can and receive and offer any information about anything, whether something that may need to be changed or anything like that, not mm-hmm. about anything having to do with judgment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. From that place of recognition that we're all such scoundrels, we're all sinners, that's, you know, but we all have access to that authenticity.
Yeah. 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 And it was amazing to watch because I'd never seen that movie before, and I got to see an ego projection that Gandhi was going to be somehow a holier than thou figure. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came from. Uh-huh. Well, I do, but that whole system.
Uh-huh.
And instead, like watching it, the experience was like feeling like you have a new friend, like that presence of that humorous, humility-filled, you know, presence to kind of calibrate to that.
Huh, yeah.
So instead of feeling like I was going to be intimidated by this holier than thou or resent, you know, somehow separate,
yeah,
it was an experience of not being separate.
Uh-huh. Oh, that's a lovely projection, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Oh, there's this new friend that's kind of funny and humble and just a new part, an aspect that it sounds like you weren't expecting
right.
that Gandhi to be.
Yeah, it was more like a mirror experience than a separation experience that I was hearing it was going to be.
Yeah.
It's good to have our own experience.
Exactly. That's why we watch the movie, right? To have those, and to see that, I was being kind of poised to have this experience,
right.
He's going to be this. I was being groomed to have that experience instead. Another experience quite was the reality.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
About 1 minute. Anyone have anything quick? Ashley?
Yeah, the it's just wonderful to be in group because it's so helpful to see how life trains through every node of intelligence that's available. And what was dropping in for me about my the experience that I shared was it was training to move past a very specific karmic orientation. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't moved past it yet. And to be present in group and to be offered a couple of perspectives that orientation was not allowing me to see.
Mm-hmm.
Was just such a beautiful experience because what dropped in is the antidote to anger is humility.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're thwarted, the anger is such a focus of sensations mm-hmm. that
other possibilities are not available. Mm-hmm. And so that was mentioned was such a gift to see that what we're being trained to drop when the ego is thwarted is an invitation to be assisted to learn from life. Mm-hmm. Right? That is the invitation in every moment, and it was sort of touched on in every conversation, mm-hmm. that when the assumption or when the projection or the conversation or the belief or everything that is ego-oriented is dropped, the beauty of what's available is that we're taught something from the source of all, mm-hmm. of all teaching.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And to have that experience as the conversation is happening is to surrender all those thoughts, all of that, to have the perfect moment is to surrender all of it so that I'm open to the possibility that I get to learn something from that which knows everything.
Yes, as expressed in all of these nodes of intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it's so perfect. And I don't know if this is where you go with it, but it's just like such a deep bow to Sangha and to the
process of training we've talked about, mm-hmm. right? That I don't know. And where I'm at is not a period.
Yes, yes. Where I'm at is not a period. It's not the stopping point. It's an invitation to open up to a whole new array of possibilities.
Yeah, and to receive that, mm-hmm. is just the exquisite benefit, as you stated many times, of training.
Yeah.